Hey guys, welcome to the Provokers Podcast, where we talk about things you probably should too. Today I'm joined by...
I'm John, also known as Steven Stevens.
And I am Ethan, otherwise known as FlabsXE Gaming on YouTube or Twitch, or people like to call me the non-bald man.
Okay.
I don't think anyone calls me the non-bald
man. I mean, but I have hair, so that would be a correct statement, so...
Sure, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone call you that.
Well, you know, I've never seen ghosts either. That doesn't mean they don't exist.
I mean, you're not entirely wrong. Either way,
entirely right.
How are you two doing?
Yeah, John, how's it feeling being bald over there?
How's it feeling to have a small brain, too?
I'm doing terrible there. But you that's the worst day ever.
You guys, if you're on the Patreon, you probably know that, you know, this conversation's kind of happened before. It was on the free episode for this week, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably listen to that before you listen to this, so it'll make sense.
But, as for my week, it's been a work week, mainly. I've been working on some stuff on scenes, getting ready for my book to be almost done. I'm, like, closing in on the final chapter, and then after that, the draft will be done. And I can go through the editing phase, because I'm going to be my own editor. I'm not paying someone to do that, because that's too much money. And self-publishing is expensive in and of itself, so I'm going to save every penny I can. So I'm just going to edit it myself, which I know there's... I already wrote down, as I was writing the book, I already wrote down sections, like, oh, go back to this section, add this piece of the story, go back here and fix the grammar or something. The grammar I mostly fixed, while I was doing it, but there's some parts where I went back and realized, well, that's just completely and utterly wrong, so I would mark it down in my phone and go back to it when I need to. So closing at the end of that, basically my phone dies, it's I'm screwed, because that's where my notes are. So I could obviously go through it manually, but that would take a lot of time. I eventually will, like at the end stage of editing, I'll just go through the entire thing. I'll be my own reader and I'll read the entire story. I'll get worked on self-publishing it. It's going to be a sci-fi book, sci-fi fantasy book. So if you're into that kind of stuff, it's going to be called The Collapse of Time, which I find to be a very fun name. And it's about these two kids. I was actually inspired by a book I had read in middle school. It wasn't even close to what I'm writing, obviously, but it was like somewhat similar. So it's a story about these two kids that are in middle school, funny enough, and they get brought into essentially hell. And they get told by Satan sort of starts deceiving them, and then someone pulls them out. And that person that pulls them out happens to be the it's like my universe's world of God. It's not actually God. It's like just it's what they're called, sprites, which people attribute sprites to ghosts, or I mean, if you talk about alcohol, that also works, I guess. But it's talking about the good, mainly the ghost side of it. And basically, they created the universe. They created a timeline, so the multiverse is sort of in there. But I don't really touch on the multiverse because that's confusing as all get out. But it's just they're called timelines. And so each world has its own timeline. And basically this person, it's a sprite that's evil, is going around trying to destroy all the timelines because they're corrupt. The people in them are evil. There's impurities in the world. And so she's trying to basically destroy everyone. And then the two kids basically don't want that to happen, because obviously they have their parents that are in their timeline. They've been jumping around timelines, meeting new friends that they're trying to save. So basically they get this motive to... sort of to stop her, and because she's an interdimensional being, obviously that's not easy whatsoever, so they have to jump through different timelines, getting different equipment, getting different powers, and it all eventually leads up to where the main character's friend gets killed, and which isn't really a spoiler because you kind of learn that. And basically the friend that the buddy that was with the guy at the very start, so they disagree on how they should defeat the evil person. One of them thinks they should kill her, one of them thinks they should just lock her up, and they disagree and they end up fighting, which turns into a blood battle. And it's gonna be a really good book. I personally, I'm obviously biased because I'm making it, but I've given scripts to my friends and to my family, asking for would this be a book you would read? And I've gotten all feedback about oh yeah, this is gonna be great when this comes out, that kind of stuff. So obviously I will announce it fully when it does come out, both on YouTube, Twitch, and here. But just this is just a little teaser for things to come. So
nice. It sounds like a good book. It's actually up my line with sci-fi.
Yeah, it's going to be a bigger book. It's not going to be I think I'm looking at Especially during the editing phase when it gets smaller, I'm looking probably at like 300 pages or so. So if you like to read bigger books, it's a bigger book. It's not going to be like a picture book or a 150 page book. It's going to be a bigger one, but it has chapters. Cause I don't like books that don't have chapters cause it makes it feel like it's a slog. So I have chapters in mind. So.
Right. John, how's your week?
I mean, it's pretty good. Just kind of relaxed. I did get some editing done, so
got a bit
of that done, but not too busy.
You gonna tell the viewers what you're editing, or is that a secret?
I was just editing one of like the past streams of like a gameplay video. Nothing too crazy.
Did you ever finish editing Undertale there? Or like even
I have not, no. I didn't even start Undertale. I haven't finished Undertale. I've been procrastinating on that one.
Can't believe it.
Here's an idea for Undertale.
Undertale's such a good game that I feel like you would blow up with popularity if you were to actually upload those. Because like that's like one of those games where it's like FNAF, where if you uploaded it, you're probably gonna get a good following, especially if you use the tag Undertale or like the hashtag or whatever. Because then people that are searching for Undertale will find your video, even if it's like, even if you're a small person. So,
right. Either way, my week was all right. Kind of boring. Did some stuff around the house. Looked into how to do editing for YouTube videos.
Nice.
And that's pretty much it, really. Headline buddy. I mean, Ethan, you got any headlines for us, bud?
Headline buddy. I see how it is. You know what? You know, I can't believe this. I'm so, you know, I identify as the game show host. Thank you very much. And that's how you must refer to me at all times. So I'm actually very offended that you just said that to me. But anyway, so the headlines that we have for today is, one of them is very interesting. Pete, there's a rumor going around, like it's a theory. Some might call it a real life theory, that Elon Musk is getting ready to acquire Disney. Because now if that sounds crazy to you, it is, because Disney seems like this gigantic company that no one's ever going to buy because they have so much money. However, obviously, due to recent events and recent productions that they have made, they're at a 50% decline from what they used to be in 2018. So. Jeez. Essentially, they're going down steadily. People are fully boycotting them at this point. They're like canceling. Like, I think I looked this up when I first heard about this story, that Disney Plus subscriptions have gone down like 75% or something like that. So people are like, screw this noise, I'm done. They're not going to Disney World as much. They're not watching Disney movies as much. Like, people are fully saying we're done with Disney, which has caused their stock to go full like crashing down. And like I said, it's about at a 50% decline now. So it's absolutely insane. And because that's happening, they're getting into a price range that Elon Musk could buy. And when he was at a red carpet event and they were interviewing him, and there was the CEO of Disney there, and Elon Musk shadily said like, oh yeah, I'm just looking for companies to acquire. And then he said Bob, but obviously he was talking about the guy because he was looking over to him. And so people were like, oh, he must be getting ready to buy Disney. I don't know if he is. If he is, then cool. Maybe he can fix it. If not, then I don't know. Because I never had a problem with him buying Twitter. My only problem was, why would you change Twitter to X? Why would you make that name change? Because no one's going to call it X.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things that I didn't have a problem with him buying it, because I think Twitter was kind of on a decline anyway. So if anyone could save it, why not? Not that I think Twitter can't be saved, and I don't think it's saved right now, but it's one of those things I'm like, well, you know what? Why not? If you have the money to do it, go for it. With Disney, Disney is dying, and it's fun. It's hilarious because Disney shouldn't be dying. They have the full power to not go down the slope, but they're choosing to go down the slope anyway. So maybe if Elon Musk does buy it, he's going to realize that, oh, this is probably stupid what they're doing currently. Let me switch it up again, or let me go back to our roots even. I'm worried that he would change Disney. That's my other concern. Like, he would name it Disney X or something with an X in it. Disney X Plus. That sounds stupid. But yeah, like, it's just one of those things that, like, you know what? If he has money and he wants to do it, then go for it. But apparently Disney was also blocking ads on X. So if you used X, you like they were blocking ads and stuff. And on a stage interview that he went on, I'm not going to actually say it because I don't swear unless it's for comedic effect. But he basically said, go F yourself to the CEO because they were trying to blackmail him with money. And it's like, why would you blackmail a dude with lots of money with money? He's like, it doesn't make any sense. So that when Elon Musk said that, Disney's the day he said that, Disney's stock went down again. So like just universally Disney is hated at this point, which is like one of those things that if you had said 10 years ago, people would be like, why would people hate Disney? That's crazy. That you wouldn't believe. It's one of those things you wouldn't believe if people said that 10 years ago, but it's we're living in it. And you know, honestly, I think Disney is one of those things that they need to go back to the roots. If they do that, they'll be fine. If they keep doing what they're doing, then they deserve to die. That's their fault. I think there's, I think YouTube is much better, is making much better. Obviously there's terrible YouTubers. I'm not saying, oh, YouTube's perfect. It's shiny. It's shiny as a can or something. I don't know what analogy I'm trying to make with it, but obviously there's bad YouTubers, but I think YouTube in and of itself is better because it's free, first of all, and also like you can watch literally anything you want to watch on it. If you're a beauty person, you can watch beauty tutorials or whatever. If you're a gaming person, there's so much content out there for you. If you're watching reviews and stuff, you can look up tech reviews and what, like the platform has basically everything you could ever want. Whereas Disney Plus is like they're going on a decline. They're making just like the worst kind of crap ever that nobody wants. Which people have said they don't want this and they're not listening. So at this point, that's their fault. So if they die, they die.
Yeah. I mean, had Disney actually listened to the fans, I think they would be doing fine right now, but they're not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're like, they are clearly like pushing for a certain thing, but like very adamantly, the parents are like, I don't want this in my movies. Stop doing this. And the Disney's like, no, we're not going to stop. So the parents are retaliating by saying, well, we're just not going to watch Disney. And that's how you tell a business that you're done. You just don't engage with them at all. Like people, like if you want to, like if you don't like the way a certain company does business, like maybe they're sleazy or they're greedy or whatever, and you just want to stop supporting them, just that's the biggest way to stop supporting them. You talk about it, you talk about how bad they are, and then you stop supporting them. That's really it. Because obviously parents are doing the adult thing to do, which is just stop engaging, stop paying for stuff. They're not like protesting violently outside of Disney headquarters or anything, which I appreciate. So yeah, I'm on the side of the parents. I think Disney's making some really terrible stuff right now that's not even in their demographic. So if they die, they die. That's the way I see it. They've chosen this road. If they want to keep, they've seen how this road ends. So if they want to keep going down this road, then it's gonna end the way they think it is. But if they change, they might go back. But I think maybe Elon Musk, that's what his plan is. Maybe he wants to buy it to go back. So it's possible.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, I guess it's possible. Either way, do you have another headline for us, or is there our only one for today?
I mean, this is like a more happy one, I guess. The U.S. has landed on the moon again after 50 years. So that's pretty cool. Apparently, they made it pretty safely. I'm pretty sure they're on the moon right now as we speak. Actually, I don't know. When you're listening to this, I don't know. But it's currently Sunday for us, and I'm pretty sure they're still on the moon because they landed on the 23rd of February, and it was a safe trip. So we landed there again after 50 years, which is pretty cool. That's more of a happy one and a shorter one, but it's a headline nonetheless because it's one of those things that's like, that's pretty great because, you know, we haven't been there in 50 years, so.
Yeah. Was it NASA that went up there or Elon's company?
Want to say NASA. I could be wrong. The article didn't explicitly say it. They just said that the U.S. has launched a rocket into orbit that made it to the moon safely and stuff like that. They didn't specifically call it. Maybe it was Elon then if they didn't specifically call it NASA, because usually they call it NASA. Right. Maybe it was Elon. I don't know. But either way, it doesn't matter who it was. We made it safely. That's all that matters.
Yep. All right. Moving on. You got your creator for this week?
Yeah, speaking of good stuff, so the creator's name is That Good News Girl. It's all in that one thing. And basically, her entire goal of her channel is to post a positive thing every day, whether it be mentally, physically, showing off like kindness or whatever the video may contain. It's all about being positive and that kind of thing. And we could all use some more positivity in our life, especially with how negative the world is now. So That Good News Girl is the thing there. She's not super small or anything. Like a lot of the people I've said aren't super small. They're like kind of medium-sized creators, I'd say. But if you want something positive in your life, then go check out her channel. She mainly does shorts, I think, and that's where you find the posting a thing a day or whatever. So go check it out if you want some more positivity in your life. If you want to see some cute cat videos or some positive interactions with humans or whatever, then that she's your future girl for that. So.
Yep. All right. With all that out the way, we are moving into the topic today, which is the psychology behind losing it in games. So, with that topic, we're really talking about games that are like Temple Run, Geometry Dash, or like those games where they you're just running and shit like that.
Well, no, games that, like, if you die, you have to restart the level, or you have to restart a section, right, or something like that. It's not just, like, where there's a game where there's checkpoints everywhere, and there's no, like, failure means nothing, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about those kinds of specific games. I guess a good one to actually start with would be Temple Run.
Well, we're talking about the psychology, not the game specifically. We're talking about, like...
Right.
Like, why in the middle section do we suck? And then why at the beginning we're super good, as if we played the game before, like that kind of stuff. We're not really focusing on the games themselves, though.
Okay.
You can reference games in your analogy, but, like, it's one of those things that, like, we're not focusing on the games.
Right. Well, I guess I'll use Temple Run as an analogy then, because that's where I'm going to start this. So I find when I am playing these games that don't have, like, checkpoints or anything, there is a point where I get good, a point where I'm doing okay, and then a point where I'm just doing shit, and I have no idea why. Even though I've played the game, like, 100 times, I know all the mechanics, and I've played the game before, like, it doesn't make sense. But I think most of that is, like, with a game like Temple Run, you anticipate what's coming, so you have an idea of what's going to come, but it's a matter, I guess, of if you jump too soon, if you don't do something soon enough, or if you just smack into a wall. That's also kind of like the same with other games. Either of you want to give an example?
Well, John, I think, should start off just because he plays more games that are like that, where like dying means more than just like, oh no, I lost 2 minutes of gameplay. Because, like, John does challenge runs where, like, I don't know if you've done a no checkpoint run or something in a game, but I know you've done, like, harder games, like, isn't Jedi Survivor, isn't there, like, not that many checkpoints in that game?
So, Jedi Survivor is, like, in Fallen Order as well, like, you get, like, there's kind of, like, save points or whatnot, where you go and you, like, sit down and you meditate, and then, like, that counts as a checkpoint. And there's, like, maybe, depending on the map, depending on how big it is, like, maybe 5 in an area. If that's, some maps have more, some have less, but I have done, like, permadeaths of those games, which is, like, more self-inflicted than anything, where, like, you, when I die, I either go back to the beginning, or I will, like, keep track of my progress on how many times I've died, and, like, if I've gotten to that point, I will restart. And to the eventual goal of doing it deathless. But I did this with Fallen Order, and the first run I did, I only died once. So at that point, every time I died, I would have to restart. And I feel like for that, it was definitely very draining for me. But like there was, to what you were saying, where like there would be times where I'd be doing great, I'd be cruising, I would get really far in the game, and then I would die, and then I would have to restart. And then there were times where I would die on, like, the very first group of enemies, and be like, well, I guess that's not super bad, because it's not that much to restart, but it's like, how have I gone through the entire game with a single death, and then go back to doing it terribly?
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, too, like, why when you're... That's the middle section we're talking... I don't know what to call it. It's like the middle section of the game, because we never explicitly said this yet, but you have the beginner's luck section, where you first enter the game or the enter the challenge or whatever. Like, do really well as if you played the game before. And then, obviously, at the end, when you beat the game, or you beat the level you're on or whatever, you've obviously overcome the challenge of the level. But there's the middle section where you seem to somehow get worse, even though you know more of the mechanics, or you've memorized more of the pathing, or whatever, what have you.
Right.
So we're talking about, like, why does that happen? Why do you somehow get worse over time? Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, for me at least, it seems that, like, sometimes it is nerves. Like, I'll be so worried that, like, a certain attack or a certain, like, part of the run will, like, fail that I'm, like, overcompensating and then getting killed by other things. That, like, if you just, like, not think about it too much, do, like, know what you're meant to do, don't worry about it, then it becomes more smooth because you're not, like, accidentally making mistakes through nervousness, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, that's a possibility, but because a lot of people blame that, like, if you're recording a game or you're streaming a game, like, people blame it on the fact that, oh, you're streaming, so obviously you're nervous. But it also happens when you're off stream, when you're playing a game for fun.
Right.
Ignoring, like, the permanent, because challenge runs are obviously going to have an added stress effect. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna try and sway away from challenge runs. Right. But, like, just normal games that are hard, like Geometry Dash, Dark Souls, especially, like, those types of games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to reference Geometry Dash just a bit more, just because I haven't played I played one Dark Souls, and that was, like, 10 years ago. And I haven't played, like, a lot of other games that are, like, you die once, you go back. So right. with the thing, though, that's interesting is with my Geometry Dash playthrough specifically, there was a level that was really hard, and it was in the gauntlet or whatever, like the gauntlets. Mm-hmm. And I got to 99 or something, or 98, sorry. And I'm like, I literally just quit the game, and I'm like, screw that. I count that as a win. But, like, there was something, like, a day later, there was something in the back of my mind that, like, no, I shouldn't count that as a win. I want to actually, I won't feel fulfilled until I beat it. And keep in mind, this level had plagued me for the entirety of my childhood. Or, sorry, it wasn't the Golems. It was the main Rothdog levels. And so I go back in, and, like a day later, first try, I beat it. And I'm like, what the heck just happened to me? Because it's like, that doesn't make sense. I trained, I played for, like, hours on end, couldn't get it. I, like, wasn't really getting that far, even if I did get past my original location. I take a break for a day. I come back the next day. I beat it first try. It's like, what just happened? And I was curious, so I did research this a little bit. But when you struggle hours, like, fighting a boss, or, like, you're never really getting far enough, like, you're not really doing much damage, and then you come back, like, 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, like an hour later, whatever have you, like, there's a gap of time there, and then suddenly you beat him. And it's like, why does that happen? And it's probably because overconfidence, like, when you're overconfident, you're like, oh, I know the mechanics, let's just destroy this guy, right? When you're overconfident, that can lead to problems, because John kind of referenced this when he was talking about the nerves. When you're overconfident, you're going to make easy mistakes, you're going to slip up, and you're going to be too cocky that you're going to lose. And when it came to me doing that level, I wouldn't say I was overconfident or anything, but I was definitely being like, oh, I know that part now, I should be able to do it. And because of that ideology, I just kept dying at that same part, you know, I'm like, oh, I should be able to do that. So, like, it's one of those things that's very strange, and it's very interesting, because, like, it's one of those things that if you take a break, and you sort of clear your mind of the game, and then you come back later with a fresh slate, almost, that's when you have a better chance of beating it. Because the reason that works is because it removes the middle section entirely. You're no longer stuck in this limbo of, I'm getting, like, one-third damage on the boss and can't get past it. You've taken that out of the equation and tried your beginner's luck again, where it's, like, your first run again. So it's one of those things that's very interesting, but I mean, I'm very interested to hear what you guys, like, your experience with this, maybe, because I know you play some games that are like that. John, you can reference challenge runs. The only thing is, like, you can't blame stress on it because there's an added stress benefit of the challenge.
No, I definitely get that point of it for sure.
Yeah, but Noah, do you have, like, what's a game that you've played that you've been stuck on a level, you've been stuck on a boss, and you come back later and you beat it, like, first try or second try, like one of your beginning tries? It doesn't have to be first try, but
right. I could definitely say. And I know this is not, like, one of the games we're talking about, but Cyberpunk immediately comes to my mind, because toward the end of the game, there's a opponent you have to go against, and he's, like, a really, really tough guy, because he's, like, one of the final bosses. I remember I kept trying to kill him for hours, and eventually I just said, you know what, I've had enough of this today. I'm going to take a break, come back in a couple days, see what happens. And I came back a couple days later, beat him first try. And I just wondered, like, what the fuck? Okay. A couple days ago, I was trying everything I could. Then I come back today, I barely try, and I kill him? How does that make sense? So, like, I know it's not one of the games we're talking about, but I do think it's actually not a bad example of, like, what we're talking about.
Well, you can reference any game as long as it's one of those games that doesn't have checkpoints at every 5 seconds, you know what I mean? Because, like, as much as I love those games, they're not hard games, because you can't call them hard because they have checkpoints at every 5 seconds. So it's not like when you die, you have to go back 20 minutes or an hour even, but, like, because, like, you'll go back 5 minutes. Because a lot of, like, more, like, cinematic games have that, where it's, like, every five, because they don't want you to have to watch this, the cutscenes every time you die or something. So they'll put a checkpoint, like, every interval of time, you know what I mean?
Right.
But John, what about you?
I mean, I definitely feel like what can relate to what Noah is saying here. I've had, back when I was little, when I was first playing Kingdom Hearts, obviously a game I know very well now, but back then I did not know very well. There's a boss about, like, late game that, amongst fans of that version of the game in particular, there's a boss that is, like, is one of, like, the first really difficult bosses in late game. And on the PS2 era for this game, you could not skip cutscenes. And you would fight... So if you died to this boss, you would have to... You'd go back to the previous room, and you'd have to enter the fight again and watch the cutscene a million times over and over again. It got super annoying. But I remember when I was first fighting it, I was, like, really struggling. I would get really far, and I would be like, okay, I got this. I know their moves now. I know how to deal with this. But I still couldn't, like, get over that hurdle until I would come back at another time, like, maybe a few days later, be like, okay, let's do this. And then I would be in first try. And, like, how did this happen? Why couldn't I do that, you know, the 18 hours I was trying the other day?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, too, that one of the things I was researching when I first wanted to research this is, does anger play a part? Does anger, like anger slash annoyance? I'm going to group them together, because once you have to go through, like, there's a lot of games where, like, they make you watch the cutscene again, or they make you watch the boss entrance again, whatever, what have you. There's always, like, a section where you have to watch again, usually. Some games don't do that, but a lot of games do. Once you get to that section, you're just like, oh my god, I just want to beat this already. Like, you get to the point where you're just like, I'm tired of this. This isn't even fun anymore. I just want to get past it and move on. And because of that, your brain is working too fast, or too fast/not enough, depending on your play style, that, like, you're making stupid mistakes. Like, I know we've all been in a video game that's like, why did I just do that? That made no sense. Like, you know that you shouldn't have done that. And you did it anyway. Like, it was so easy to, like, maybe he has a slam attack that you knew about 10 tries ago and you still didn't avoid it. Or like, in Geometry Dash, you knew a part of the level that you're, like, that you've gone through 15 times and yet somehow you died to, like, a single spike that you've been avoiding the entire time. It's one of those things that you make stupid mistakes. And, like, I think the stupid mistakes part is actually tied to anger slash annoyance. Because you start to get over that part, you start to get annoyed of it, and so you're trying to just rush through it, which ends up leading you to stupid mistakes. Kind of like in real life, when you rush certain things, you make stupid mistakes, and I think that actually applies to gaming as well.
Right, I was gonna say that's a good point when it comes to that, because I like say we mentioned Dark Souls earlier very briefly, but when I've played Dark Souls games, I'll be fighting a boss, and like anyone who's played a Dark Souls game know how difficult those bosses can be at times. And you'll get to, like, when they have, like, a little bit of health left, and, like, you start to, like, okay, they only have a little health left. Maybe I can rush this part, but, like, you can't do enough damage. And if you've been playing long enough, you know about how much damage your attacks do. So it's, like, almost silly to believe that sometimes that you can do more damage than you can do, because, like, you've seen your progression with this fight, if you're struggling on it long enough, that's, like, you're not going to be able to rush him and kill them. But it's like you want it over with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I find when I do get to those points in games, when it's like boss fights and whatnot, if it's like a really hard part, I find I get angry quick, which is a problem, especially if you're going up against a boss, because like Ethan said, it makes it so you make stupid mistakes, which is where you end up dying and then having to face the boss again. Which is just a real annoyance. Thankfully, most Those games aren't like the games full that make you watch a cutscene.
Well, a lot of games are. A lot of games do make you watch the at least the boss entrance scene again. There is games where I think Kingdom Hearts does this because I've seen John stream. They allow you to they play it again, but they allow you to skip it once you've seen the first one.
Yeah, these days it's like that, but back in back in the day when it was PS2 era, you couldn't skip cutscenes no matter what. So.
Oh, okay. Well, at least they fixed it now. So in modern day, it's like that. But there's still games today that's in modern day that don't do that, where you have to watch cutscene again. And you know. Once I think that explains why beginner's luck works, because you're not angry at that point, you're not stressed at that point, you're going in with like no knowledge, and it's like you know, everyone's heard the saying ignorance is bliss, and I truly believe that that's like in certain situations it does apply, because in gaming, if you go into a game knowing nothing, it's going to be a better experience overall than if you had gone in knowing everything, because if you know everything, then you're going to be not surprised by dramatic effect, you're not going to be surprised by this character died, like, oh no, not Jimmy, even though you knew Jimmy died at Act 2 or whatever. But when it comes to the hard section of games, if you go in knowing nothing, there's no stress over you. You're just like, because you go in sort of like, oh, I know I'm going to die at this, I know I'm going to fail, because you kind of go in knowing that you might fail. Whereas the other, when you're in that anger stage, where you're in the annoying stage, like, you're just trying to get over it, you're trying to just, I'm like, I'm so done with this at this point, that you make stupid mistakes. And that eventually leads to, like, having to watch the cutscene again. So, like, your stupid mistakes that you're making because you don't want to watch the cutscene again circles back and makes you watch the cutscene again because, obviously, you're making stupid mistakes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very, I think it all kind of ties together in that sense.
Mm-hmm. I think that's also another fair point. Sorry to interrupt, Duna, as you can go first, I guess.
Sorry? Oh, no, you go ahead, man.
All right, well, to that effect where you, like, you go in like knowing you're probably not gonna succeed first try. I've definitely been in games that I have played before that I'm like, okay, I know I'm a little underleveled, but I'm gonna go into this fight, see how much I can do, and then like maybe I'll come back later if I don't succeed. And sometimes I succeed because I was not even like worried about dying. Then like I got through it, not as difficult. It wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be. But then other times I'll be like, yeah, I was absolutely right. I can't do this right now.
Yeah. Right. And again, that like the thing I just said explains why beginner's luck works. It also explains why taking a break and coming back later is going to work. It's because you've cleared your mind. You're no longer annoyed of watching the same damn cutscene 15 times over. You're no longer annoyed of the fact that you're making stupid mistakes because you've been watching a movie. You've been playing a different game. You've been hanging out with friends. Whatever you did in that time frame to clear your mind. You're basically going in with a second chance of beginner's luck again. And that's why there's so many times where you go into a game, you take a break, you're like, you know what, I'll come back to this later. You come back later, first, second try, third try even, you beat him instantly. It's like, why, like John said, why couldn't I do that before? And it's because you don't have the stress and you don't have the anger of trying to get over it again. Getting over it, like I've said, getting over it as just a casual phrase, but like that's another great game as a mention because you fall at a certain part, you've lost all progress, you lose everything. Oh, yeah. Same thing with I think it was called Up something, whatever it was. It was the 3D version of getting over it. It was called Only Up. That was the name of it. But like Only Up was also another example. Like if you fell, you lost all progress, and that's one of those things that like. I saw someone play the game. I saw like the ending of it, and they like fell at the very end, which was so tragic. Like it hurt my feelings that they fell because like I wanted them to succeed, and they fell. Once you fall at the end, it's just like getting over it. If you fall at the end, you go to the very beginning again. And what they did was, I think, was smart. They shut off the game. They said, "All right, guys, it's gonna do it for the stream. We'll be back with this again tomorrow." Tomorrow, 15 minutes in the stream, they beat it, and it's like, yeah, I mean that. That doesn't make any sense to me because at the time I wasn't aware of what I do now. And I'm like, that's crazy that worked. But that taking a break, all it took was going away from the game for a little bit.
What I've actually found is every now and then I'll play a racing game and I'm usually like really good at racing games. But every now and then I fuck up in a race and I crash into a barrier and I have to... And, like, everything gets broken, so I've got to restart the race. What I find is, usually if I take a break after, like, a race or two, I usually perform better. And that I think that has to do with just taking a break and getting your mind off things. Because I found when I was doing races like back to back to back, it was very draining, and also it was quick for me to make a stupid mistake. Like, it's very interesting to think about, actually, because I'm hearing you guys list off these examples, and I'm like, wait a minute, I play these other games where I've made stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's interesting. Because this kind of applies to, like, almost any game you can think of. I don't know if Doom would really apply to this, maybe.
Doom has a lot of... Doom's a hard game, but I'll give it praise because it has a good amount of checkpoints. Like, when I played Doom... Doom Original I can't speak on because I only played that briefly, but Doom Eternal, for example, had a lot of checkpoints. Like, the only part that was kind of dumb was the boss section, which, you know, to be fair, is kind of what we're talking about. The final boss, which I won't spoil too much, but it's, like, it's a big deal, and, like, there's it's a classic boss fight. There's different sections to the boss once you get so far. But if you die at any of the later sections, you have to restart the entire boss fight. That was, like, the only time in Doom Eternal where it was like, you know what? You could have done better with your checkpoints in your game. But even then, I wasn't, like, I watched Jack play the game, and he was kind of annoyed with that part. I didn't personally find annoyance in it because, like, I'm just going to sound real pretentious in the fact that I'd love Jack Sedgwick, by the way, before I even say this, but I think I was a little better at the game because, like, he would die a couple times. No, I'm not saying I'm better at gaming in general. I'm just saying, like, for that part, I didn't personally find it annoying because I only died once, whereas he died, like, multiple times. So, but, I mean, maybe he didn't grow up playing Doom. So that's one of those things that I think his viewers just wanted him to play. That's why he played it. But, yeah, it's one of those things that, like, I could see why he would be annoyed with it, though. Because if you die multiple times, you have to go through the entire section again. And because it's not just you shoot the boss, you win. You have to do certain things to shoot the boss. It's not just like, oh, you know, it's Doom because you think it's Doom. So you're just like, oh, just shoot him and you win. But you have to get the things to be able to shoot him. Because, like, your gun isn't enough, basically. Mm. So, and you have to repeat all those steps again. I can totally see why he'd be frustrated with it. And I because I wasn't frustrated with it and I watched him play it, I was even frustrated watching him. Because it's like, that's so dumb that they make you have to restart the entire section again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I forget, but I think there's a game called, like, Pogo Stuck, where it's, like, getting over it, except you have, like, a pogo stick.
Yes, me, John, and Axel have talked about doing it, and I might be tempted. I'm not doing getting over it, screw that noise, but I might be convinced to do Pogo Stuck. We'll see. Don't bet on it, viewers, if you want.
I've been really, really wanting to do that, but...
I think it'd be funny. I think at the end of the day, because that's one of those games. Yeah, because, like, with me, John, like, when I'm playing with these guys, like, it's, oh, like, I'm not really worried about winning too much. I'm more worried about having fun, because at the end of the day, that's what matters. Mm-hmm. And so, while I think I might get slightly annoyed at the mechanics, I can totally see myself just having fun, laughing at how I'm bad at the game, or how John fell off an entire cliff and has to restart the entire game. Like, there's things like that where I think it's going to be hilarious, you know? But with getting over it, that's solo. You're on your own. Like, there's no, you don't have friends to talk to at that point. Yeah. I mean, unless you're in a Discord server or whatever. But, but that is a good example, too, because there's not as bad falls. Like, getting over it has, like, terrible falls. Like, you fall, it's over. But getting over it doesn't have too many. Like, there's some slight annoyances.
Right.
Yeah. I've never played getting over it, and I don't plan on it.
Fair enough.
Well, you also don't have a computer that can probably run it, Noah.
True.
You mentioned in Doom, though, with the, like, boss... not having checkpoints. It reminds me of the Crash Bandicoot series. Is like in 1-3 specifically, the bosses didn't have any checkpoints. So if you died on the boss fight, you would go back to the beginning and you have to do the whole thing over again. They changed that in 4, which is like the one of the few things that Crash Bandicoot 4 did that I was like, this is stupid. It's not even close to how like it felt before. But the rest of it I like, so it doesn't matter. But it's like you would fight these bosses and you'd be like, okay, these bosses aren't really that tricky if once you learn them, but like you could still struggle on that one for like ages if you got to the point where you're just getting annoyed that you have to restart, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what I think one of the biggest things is what it is. Because with my example with Yamcha Dash is if you play a level enough times and it's not like you might start to be like, oh, this level sucks. Like, you might start to be like, this level is not good, or it's like the gameplay is not good, or whatever. And also, you might start to get annoyed of the song itself, because as you know, if you play Jumjun Dash, the song restarts when you die, obviously. It doesn't make sense if it would continue. But if it's not a good enough song, you also might start getting annoyed of the song. And when you have the game that's annoying you and the music that's annoying you, when all those things are basically toppling over you, you're just like, screw this noise, I'm out of here, right? Like, there's been several times, not just with that game, but like some games, because I've said this before, I don't like when games make me mad, because games as a whole should make you happy. That is the entire point of games, even rage games. They're made to make you feel accomplished and happy at the end of the day. But when I start getting mad, that's when I want to put it down. Because I know that if I keep going, I will rage. I know that, and I don't like that. I don't like raging. I find it stupid. So I purposefully distance myself from the game. I take a break, and if I'm feeling up to it, I'll come back later. There's some games that anger me so much I never want to go back. But like there's like most games, it's fine. And I'm like, you know what? That was just me in the moment. Let me come back to it at a later date. And I have. Like with Metroid Dread, is for my viewers that watch my channel, Metroid Dread was one of those games. It was so confusing. Because that was my first entry into the Metroid series. It was so confusing. There was nothing explained to me in what to do. It's a maze of ridiculousness. There's fake walls everywhere that you have to shoot to even find out if they're fake or not. So you basically have to go around shooting everything. We had to look up a tutorial on how to go to a certain place. It's like, it was so annoying. And then, like, 6 months later, I came back. And it was mostly better. It was definitely better. But there's still a couple false walls that we missed and stuff like that. But it was one of those things that, you know, I almost didn't want to come back because it was so aggravating. But I did come back, and I gave it a second chance, and I got way farther than I did in the first episode. So it's one of those things that you just have to take a break sometimes. And that's one of the most important things, is taking a break if it's making you angry. And knowing the fact that you take a break, come back at a different date and be like, you know what? Because I took a break, let's do this. Let's try this again. And then you'll find out that maybe you'll beat it this time. Maybe you'll do it first try, second try, whatever you. One of the first tries you do, you might beat it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's...
It's something I just thought of, but when we talk about like taking a break after struggling for a long time, it's possible that when you do that, it's like you have time to process the new information you're learning. And like the reason that I bring this up is because when I did track and field in middle school and high school, and one of the events I did was the high jump, and I wasn't very good at it, to be honest with you, but I remember one meet in particular, the day before the meet, we were practicing, and I was like, I wasn't getting it. I was like, they would tell me this is what you do, and I would hear what they were telling me that I had to do, but I couldn't get it down. The next day, like we end practice, I go to sleep, go to school the next day, go to the meet, I was doing it fine. I was actually doing the event correctly. Not well, but... Mm-hmm. I had at least the form down, so like if I continued to practice well, I would have been able to do it. I think like I had to go and process the information and then come back to it.
Yeah. John, you actually just made me think about something. So kind of similar to you, when I was in like my freshman year of high school, I was on the wrestling team. Mm-hmm. And I remember this one day we were doing a drill where we were throwing around practice dummies. And it was like, I had the form, I knew what I was doing, but I couldn't throw the guy legally.
Mm-hmm.
And my coach, he looked at me and he said, okay, you know how to do it, you just got to do it legally. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Eventually, practice is over, come back to it the next day. I don't know why, but I came back the next day. I was throwing the dummy legally.
Yeah, I don't know. We're talking about video games, guys. Trust us. But we're essentially like they're just making analogies, obviously. But like one of the things that I was reading while they were saying that is that this is a good example of what we're talking about. So if you just play a game over and over, you will improve, but at a certain point you will plateau. It is similar to reading your textbook over and over again, but not taking any active notes. You're not learning anything. So I like obviously when you read a textbook, you're like once you get to a certain point, it's like I want to be done with this. I don't want to read this anymore, and so you start rushing and you start not actually taking in the information. And so this kind of ties into what John just said earlier, which is when you're in the moment, you're perceiving information, but it might not be enough. It might be too quick of information that you're not processing it fully. And so even though you think you know what he's going to do, what the boss is going to do next, or you think you know what the next stage is, you might have an inclination, but you might have like not processed it enough. And so you're like, oh, I don't know what time I should jump, or I don't know what time I need to shoot here or whatever. And so you get into this limbo of that entire section. Like when she says plateau, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about limbo. And once you take a break, like John just said, you process the information more. And so when you come back the next day or the next hour, whatever time frame you use, you're going to be better at it because you processed it for longer.
I am really a fan now of the Saint Ignatius Bliss, and I forgot to say this when you brought it up, but I am really a fan of that saying now, because when I started playing games, I had so much ignorance to how games started and everything. And I honestly kind of wish I could go back to those first times of playing a game like Skyrim or Fallout, because now I know every time what it's like when you start up a new character, and I'm just like, I kind of miss the feeling of like discovering everything before. Mm-hmm. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to like that kind of idea, is I think there's one of my favorite streamers that uses that they actually invented sort of a saying, and I'm gonna hopefully get it right here. It's you can always play a game knowing something, but you can only play a game knowing nothing once. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, like, it's not obviously powerful in the sense that it's moving or anything, but it's one of those things that, like, damn, yeah, you're right. Because after your first playthrough, or even after your first, like, if you're a YouTuber, after your first episode, whatever, you know something going into it. You don't know nothing anymore. You've shattered that idea that you don't know anything anymore. Like, there's still elements of the game you might not know, obviously, but you know something, and that's kind of the point. And I don't think that was a full quote, so don't quote me. I think it's a longer quote than that. But it was one of those things that, like, damn, you know, that's absolutely right. Because, like Noah just said, he wants to go back to a point where he knows nothing, but you can't. Unless we invent a memory wipe, which hopefully we don't, then that's not going to happen. Because he'll always go into Skyrim, because he referenced Skyrim. He'll always go into Skyrim knowing something, whether it be the mechanics, whether it be, it doesn't matter how long ago he played it, he will go in knowing something. So,
yeah. Well, that's the thing that kind of sucks as you play more and more games. Like, you get into them and you know how they go. And then you come back after a while, and you're like, well, shit, I still know how this starts, or I still know how this goes.
Right.
Well, and, you know, you can find solace in that idea, because, to be fair, that's how a lot of games get the popularity, is because they're so good of games that you come back, like, every day, or you come back a couple times a week or something like that. Because Minecraft, like, for me, there's stages. Like, I'll play the game solidly for a month or so, and then I'll not play the game for another month, and then the next month I'll come back and I want to play it again. So, like, it's one of those things that it's such a good game that it keeps me coming back. And like, yeah. I remember what my previous world was like or whatever. And I guess hardcore mode, actually, Minecraft, not Minecraft as a game, but hardcore mode specifically is a good example. Cause if you die, it's over. There's no going back. You don't get, there's no reset button. There's no way out of it. So when you, as someone who's played hardcore and likes hardcore mode, actually, like, there's so many moments that are dangerous. Like, going to the Nether for the first time is dangerous because you don't know where you spawned. And you could spawn in the Crimson Forest with 20 of those pickling guys coming after you. You could spawn on literally a floating netherrack island beneath a pit of lava, and you're just like, well, this game sucks. Or you could spawn, like, next to an Enderman, like, meeting, and, like, you look at them accidentally because you're still coming out of the portal. So, like, that's dangerous. Getting a totem is dangerous because you have the Vexes or whatever that are just the worst thing in the entire game. But it's those types of things that, like, you know going into them that if you mess up, it's over. And so there's that added stress that, like, this could end my run. This could end it. And you still go in there, and maybe you lose. Maybe it's over. Because you had too much stress to the point where you're, like, you over-calculated what you needed to do, or you over... Sometimes being too careful is also a problem in certain games. And so it's one of those things that you can't be stressed about. You can't go into this being like, oh, this might end my run for sure. You have to go into it being like, you know what? I'm going to go in here, get a totem, and I'm going to get out alive. Like, that's all you really need to say to yourself. Because if you start saying, oh, this is going to end my run, or like, oh, all right, guys, this is it. This is it. This is where that run ends. Then you're probably just talked it into existence, because your stress over that situation is going to trump basically your hope for getting out alive, essentially. And obviously, this is a Minecraft analogy. It can apply to different games, but it's one of those things that I've experienced personally, and that with Minecraft especially, like, getting totems is one of the stupidest things in the game. And also, the end is terrifying because the void just kills you instantly. Like, once you fall in the void, it's over. Like, you don't get, unless you have an ender pearl on you, there's no way out of it. And so when you're bridging or when you're flying in the end, it's always scary being like, if I fall here, it's over. But you can't think about that. You just have to think of what's ahead. You have to think of, like, if you're flying in the end, you have to think of, oh, I'm looking for an end city to get a dragon head or something like that. Because if you're, like, think of, like, when you're on a bridge. If you think to yourself, oh, this looks really far down. If this breaks, we're all going to die. If you start thinking that, you're going to be stressed the frick out, dude. You're going to be trying to run across the bridge to get out of that situation. But if you're just walking along being like, oh, what a nice view. Like, looking up, rather. Because if you're scared of heights, you're not going to look down and be like, oh, that looks great. Yeah, I love that. If you're just looking up and like, oh, what a nice view, and you're not even looking down, then you're going to be perfectly stress-free the entire time. So it's one of those things that you can't go into that situation already stressed, otherwise you're going to overcalculate or you're going to be too careful sometimes, and you're going to end up speaking your loss into existence, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something I've found in games, is like, sometimes I'm way too cautious in a game, and that ultimately leads to my downfall.
Right.
Yeah, but usually it's like you overcalculate. There is some games though where if you're too careful, that's what it ends you. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I mean, John, you do a lot of like harder games. So there had to have been a moment for you where you went into the situation, like whether you said it to your audience or not, or maybe you're playing casually, where you said to yourself, "Yeah, this could end the run, or this could end like I might die here." Like you go into that, and then it's spoken into existence basically because you were stressed over it.
Right.
I feel like maybe you just can't recall one, but like, there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a moment.
There's been times where I've been like that, where I'm like, okay, if I could die here, this part's kind of scary, and then I end up dying. Like, you see, I told you I could die. So there's definitely been a few moments where it's been like that. But there has been at least one moment, I feel like, because I remember what the response from someone in chat was, where I was fighting a boss, and I was like, oh man, I'm dead, I'm gonna die. And then I beat the boss, and then the person in chat was like, I thought you said you were gonna die. And I was like, I lied.
I lied. Yeah, when it comes to games, like, if I'm playing a multiplayer game and someone's like, oh, you're gonna win, and then they end up winning, I'm, like, so pissed off. I'm like, why did you say that? Why did you say that I was gonna win when you just won? Like, shut up over there. Don't make preconceived notions. Because, like, obviously that's a little different than what we're talking about. It was one of those things that you reminded me of that's, like, that's super annoying. But, like, yeah, I mean, that's a good example because, like, you go into it, I don't know what you were fighting or it was just a hard section or whatever, but like you go into it, be like, oh, I'm going to die. And because of that thought, you will die because you're like, oh, you already know you're going to die. So, you know, your playing structure is going to revolve around that. If you go into the situation, they'll being like, oh, this boss is toast. He's dead. Now don't be too overconfident, but if you're like, oh, I'm going to beat this guy. Then your playstyle will revolve around that idea.
Right. Yeah. There's like definitely a difference between being like, okay, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I'm gonna go and fight this boss and beat him, and then be like, this boss is so easy. I'm gonna play as one hand, man. I'm gonna just like, oh, I've died.
I'm gonna do this blindfolded.
Like, I'm actually kind of having the like same thing, John. Like, I was playing UFC the other day, mm-hmm. and I got a fight opportunity to face Conor McGregor with a new character I had just made. And I was like, this is Conor McGregor, right? I'm going to fucking die. Let's give it a shot anyway. Mm-hmm. By the time of round 2, he was knocked out. I wasn't, and I was surprised because I was like, I remember Conor being harder. Right. So, like, I guess sometimes when you're playing a game and you have that preconceived notion of like, oh fuck, this is a tough guy, I'm gonna die. I guess sometimes when you do that, it's something you say, but it doesn't come true. Because I've even thought that, and like, it's never come true sometimes. Like, even without saying it. How far along are we in this?
Well, it's probably time to close off here.
Yeah, alright. So, who wants no points first? I actually have them already tallied.
Hey, did your job, nice.
Yeah. So who'd like to hear him first?
I'll get it.
I think it's. I think that there's an old school rule that the bald person always has to go first.
Okay.
It's like a rule you learn in kindergarten.
Gracious.
All right. Right. The bald kid gets picked first at my old school. Right. Either way. John and Ethan. Ooh, what a very close game we had this time around. John, you have 25 points.
Nice.
Ethan, You have 23. Hey, it was very close though. Nice. This is also like the first time I didn't do ball tax, so.
The ball tax.
The ball tax.
I forgot that existed. You know, this is like the fifth time you haven't done it. I haven't heard the ball tax in a while. You haven't done that in a while, so.
It's gonna come back one day, just not today.
The ball.
Either way, Ethan, you got your winning speech. Yeah, you got your winning speech, bud.
Did you just ask if I have a winning speech? I lost. No, you said I had 23.
Oh, sorry, John, you have a winner speech, right?
He's just so used to letting Ethan do the winner speech. He got it.
No one's hastily writing down the ball tax as we speak. Just like, oh, yeah, Ethan, you have a winner speech.
No. But I will say, like, you know, we talked about going into things expecting to lose and you somehow surprise yourself. That's what happened here today. I was like, you know what? Noah's the host. I'm going to lose. And then I won. So, like, I'm very surprised, but pleasantly surprised about this victory.
Well, it doesn't really apply, because we said if you go in knowing you're going to lose, you might. you probably will lose, whatever.
Just ignore that part.
Right. All right, Ethan, loser speech.
Yeah, you know, John's bald, and at the end of the day, that's all that truly matters, is recognizing that John's actually bald. And, like, you know, because, like, the bald tax, you know, as, like, Noah does that sometimes, but we have to remember that the bald tax is always a thing in real life. So when John's going to buy a house, there's going to be, like, sales tax and, like, all the, like, homeowner's tax, whatever all the taxes are, and then at the very bottom is the bald tax.
Right.
Which is, I think it's, like, 50% or something like that. When John gets a job, he's gonna have like 50% pay cut because he's bald. You know, those things that, like, it just has to happen. That's my loser speech right there.
Okay, thank you guys for listening. We hope we provoked a conversation and made you laugh along the way. You can find Ethan on YouTube at FlabsXC Gaming, and on Twitch under the same handle, I think. Right?
You should know this, Noah. We've done this several times.
I think it's FlabSexy Gaming for his Twitch as well. You can find Jeebens over on Twitch, Jeebens Feebens, same with his YouTube. He probably hasn't fixed that space, so don't even try.
A long time ago! That's been fixed for such a long time now.
Didn't know, anyway.
Yes, you did! There was an episode where you hosted that John said that he did it. That was like 20 episodes ago.
Well, either way, I forgot. Anyway, we do have a Patreon with our own tiers. Of course, you could donate any amount you like. That going from, I think, $3 all the way up to $100 if you feel that crazy. Of course, you don't have to go and view the Patreon. We're not forcing you to buy it, so. Over there, we do have bonus episodes. Well, they're not bonus episodes, they're extended cut episodes. So, like, say we had a game show we couldn't fit into an episode, it's basically just the rest of that into an episode.
Well, and we do, like, game, like, stuff, basically stuff we couldn't fit into an entire episode, but, like, not game shows specifically. We don't have any game shows over there, like, right now. It's just, like, games. Right. They're not game shows, but they're just, like, fun games. Like, Truth or Dare, I think, we've done, like, Tower, we've done, what was the other one that Noah did? Noah did another one. Kiss, Marry, Kill is another one. Like, that's a schoolyard classic. So, like, stuff like that, yeah. Speaking of which, before Noah ends off, because I wanted to say this at some point, we are approaching our 100th episode, which is going to mark 100 weeks of podcasting, which is ludicrous speed. And the reason I bring this up is because we're going to have a special, very special episode going out on on the 100th episode. It's going to be a 2-hour-long thing as opposed to, like, these normal 1-hour ones. It's going to be a part of different sections. We're going to be bringing back some old stuff, bringing in some new stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. So get excited for that one, because that's coming soon, like, real soon. So.
All right. Thank you for that, Ethan. And before I forget, the Provokers does have an Instagram. It's the Provokers Official. I forgot to promote that. Either way, we'll see you guys next time. Oh, and John's bald fucking loser.